How can you use sudden change in how we deliver youth programs as an opportunity to improve? You are listening to the University of Minnesota Extension Center for Youth Development podcast. My name is Carrie Robidoux, and I'm an extension educator. And in this podcast, we're going to explore 8 steps for youth programs to consider during this time. Leading us through this conversation is Nancy Hagland. She's a program leader for our center. Thank you for joining me today, Nancy.
Thanks, Carrie. It's really great to be here today and to visit with you a little bit about Cotter's change model and the 8 steps that are important when we're considering change, which we certainly have a lot of that going on right now.
There is a lot of change, and I appreciate you having this conversation with us. I think that those 8 steps are really going to give us a lot to think about. So let's get started with you telling us a little bit more about how you see this sudden change as an opportunity for youth workers, and then how that led you to thinking about Cotter's 8 steps.
Yeah, thank you. When I was asked to write a blog, which I had it on my calendar for a long time, and the topic that I was researching at the time was being busy. So there's a lot of research on busyness. And my life in March is really quite busy with many professional aspects and personal commitments. And then COVID-19 arose, and we started learning more. And suddenly, life changed. And so the thought of writing about being busy just didn't make a lot of sense. However, there was a lot of change happening. So there was looking at where we worked, how we connected with people, and also how we connect with youth and volunteers in our youth development programs. And so I thought about back to a training that I was able to attend that really did focus on the 8 steps of change. And I just feel like they really resonated with me and are really important during this time when we're looking at what we're doing in youth development programs and what we want to do in the future. Because I know while I've heard people say, oh, I want to get back to normal, our normal that we had is not going to work as we move forward. So there's going to be something new, I think better. But right now, we're just trying to figure out what that is. And so that's what I think that the 8 steps are really key for us all to consider when we're looking at change during this time.
And you mentioned your blog post that we have in the Youth Development Insight blog out of the University of Minnesota Extension Center for Youth Development. What I appreciated about that blog is this positive look at change. It's easy to go the other direction right now. And I think you've done a really nice job of helping us bring it back and look at the opportunity and the positive, opposed to all of the things that we don't have. I think that these 8 steps do help us move forward into what we do have. The first step that you mentioned from Cotter's 8 steps is create a sense of urgency around a big opportunity.
Right. And so when I think about that right now, we have a big opportunity. Currently, there aren't a lot of youth development programs happening face-to-face. And so we have an opportunity in front of us right now to look at how we continue to deliver programs. We know that schools made fast changes in how they're delivering programs, and youth development programs that may be after school or site-based or and I think about the 4-H community club programs or the programs that we work within Extension, we really have to see this as an opportunity to look at what we were doing and what we can do in the future. So, and we have a sense of urgency. We have a sense of urgency because we know that plans that youth had, they've changed. They're not happening. So what they may have had on their calendar isn't there. And so I just think back to the 2 weeks before we went to a remote learning, one of my teenagers was busy from 7:15 a.m. to 9 p.m., boom, boom, boom. And that really changed. And so we have an opportunity to create some programming that can really resonate and provide some enrichment and enhancement to youth lives as we think about the changes that are happening for them, as well as, you know, really all the changes that we're experiencing in our world. I also, you know, another piece that's really important when we think about change is building, the second step is building and maintaining a guiding coalition. And so when we're thinking about making change, we don't want to do that by ourselves. Certainly I could make a decision to say, oh, we should go ahead and do this, or Carrie, you could do the same. However, that only would be the information that we know or we have. And so I think it is just so important to bring different minds together to learn from each other, because we'll get a better product in the end. We'll get a better result if we have more ideas, thinking about what could happen rather than just having, you know, one person or a couple people. And I've seen that happen in our youth development work with Extension, as we're looking at how we are delivering programs. We're getting small groups working together to adjust things and go, let's try this. And it's been really fun to see some of those changes and things that have been able to be tried. They might not all work right away, but tried and then adjusted and done and shared again in a different way.
I like how those first two steps work together, and that you feel that urgency. You know that it's time for change, but you want to remember to include the people you need to include in those idea sessions, and what could that change be first. And then the third one that is suggested is form a strategic vision and initiatives.
Right. And so when you think about what it is you want to do, it's really important to know what's going to be different as a result of our efforts. What's going to change? What's going to be maybe something that we've been trying to do but we can't do? So what will be different? And one of the things I think about right here, especially when I think about youth development programs, is that one of the major obstacles when we think about youth development programs, we hear about transportation, the lack of available transportation for youth to come to meetings or programs. So right now, we're not doing a lot of transportation. So I think it, when we think about having that vision and taking that initiative, we need to think about some of those things that have been barriers and think, are those still barriers, or how can we look at that, and what is our vision for reaching a youth or volunteers in a new way that might create some more opportunities for them as we look at different ways that we approach our work. I also think it's really important to look at how we communicate this vision. And so that's the fourth step, is communicating the vision to create buy-in and then enlist a volunteer army. And so once you have your idea and you have it, you want to make sure that people are buying into that and that they are with you and that they're available to support you. I think about the work that I do as a 4-H club leader, and I think about the local educators that I'm working with, that work with me, and they're really enlisting this. They're thinking about how are we going to do things different, and then bringing people in and having the communication and being available and just willing to bring people along on the vision that they've discovered, or they've said, this is where we want to go with our programming. And I think that's just so critical, no matter what the youth development program is, that you share your vision and then you have people work with you, because the more people that are committed to it, I think the more successful it will be.
I really like that aspect. And again, tying in those two steps together of recognizing what needs to change right now. I think, you know, bringing us back to your example of transportation was the challenge. Now maybe Wi-Fi, broadband internet, access to technology might be our challenge. How are we meeting the needs of all of the young people in our programs, and then enlisting those key stakeholders? I like the term volunteer army. That just feels like we're really going out and we're going to take on this challenge and we're going to achieve something.
Yes, I think so too. And then when I think, I just share the next step, Carrie, is that we want to enable action by removing barriers. And so we have to have a clear path that army can, that volunteer army can really act in new ways. And so what have been some what are the barriers? And you mentioned Wi-Fi, so that might be a barrier right now. How do we reduce that? How do we look at that? Or what are some of the other barriers? I know, for instance, and not that it's a huge barrier, but we want to make sure that we have enough adults that are working with our program. So we can have a distance learning, but we want to make sure we have the appropriate number of adults ratio with the youth that we're working with. And so that's one of the pieces that we need to be able to remove that barrier and ensure that we have the volunteers available to ensure that we have a safe environment for kids, whether it's in-person learning or via distance. And I think that sometimes we don't think about that, but it's really critical that we pay attention to that, because it's a different kind of learning, but it's still learning and it still requires the same processes that and procedures that we utilize when we're doing face-to-face learning. I also think that when I look at step six is, do you want to generate and celebrate short-term wins? I think when we first went to remote working and delivering programs, we looked for some things we could have some success with. What are some things we can do? So I know one of our program teams laid out some things we're going to do, the learning opportunity once a week at 2 o'clock in the afternoon. They advertised it and they've had really good success in deciding we're going to do a 30-minute lesson at 2 o'clock on this day. And so they're getting some short-term wins that I think will lead to more opportunities in the future. So I think that's the other piece, is we need to celebrate those short-term wins as we look at what things can we do right now. And then also take a look, and it probably moves in really nice to the next step, but how do we keep moving that? And how do we look at this as a colleague that I talked to last week said, this is a marathon, Nancy. This isn't a sprint. And I said, oh, that's really good to think about that. So what kind of training do you need for a marathon compared to if you're just going out to do a quick sprint? And so I think about that, and I think about that when I talk with colleagues too, is how are we preparing for that marathon? And so being able to sustain that acceleration and really drive towards our opportunity. So what is our opportunity right now in all youth development programs that we really need to ramp up and sustain that acceleration?
I really like that metaphor, thinking about these steps in that way, putting Cotter's steps into a marathon opposed to, you know, running right now into a sprint. That sense of urgency that you talked about in the first step could make you feel like you need to just do everything right now. But I appreciate all of the steps that lead us to getting short-term wins, but making sure that, as you said in number seven, sustaining that acceleration. And then number eight, the final step, is institutionalizing change into your culture.
Yes. Now, when you think about that one, it makes you really think, like, what will this change look like? So we know that we want to have sustained change. So some of the things that we're doing right now, I hope we're going to continue doing them. There's things we haven't even discovered that we probably will want to do. I think we're finding some things just in the past few weeks that we're like, we want to know this for the future. We want to figure out how we can be more efficient, how we can share our resources, and how we can do things in a way where we're really able to keep that sustained change and then embed that into our culture. I think that's the piece that's really critical, is that certainly we, you know, I think back to February, we were doing programs, they were going well, we had kids coming to them, we had volunteers working with kids, it was all going well. However, we were presented an opportunity that required change and fast change. And so what we have to do is to see what kinds of things do we want to have different, and that will be so much better when we make those changes. But it took this time and this opportunity to see what could be, rather than continuing on the path that we were, because many times if things are working well, we don't change them. We just let them keep going and think it's probably the best that we have. But when we have to stop and change our course and think about that we can't do some of the things we used to do, but we also can do a lot of things now that we hadn't thought about before, that and it becomes part of our culture, that's when we're really seeing that sustained change, and we're really seeing that we're going to be making a difference and really being able to connect, I think, with more youth, with more volunteers as we move into the future and have this become part of the way that we do our work as we move forward in the future.
And with that, you have just described the opportunity. The opportunity that when we are able to resume our quote-unquote normal work where we work, how we work, the physical distance we're able to have with the people that we work with. Our opportunity in this are the changes that we're making now, are the changes that we can sustain into the future as well.
That is right, for sure. I just think it's a really great time to take a look at that. And it's more of an opportunity than an obstacle in my mind, I think. And we need to really look at it in that manner. Otherwise, we'll get frustrated or we'll say, oh, we can't do this, can't do that. But there's so many things that we can do and we are doing. And I think that's a really great way to look at it as we see what can happen in the future.
Nancy, thank you for sharing Cotter's 8 steps to really having effective and transformative change in your organization and suggesting it as an opportunity rather than a challenge for all of us right now. And I also really appreciated the examples you gave along the way of how you're seeing these steps actually happening and transforming and helping our organization move in this direction. And I think everyone listening today will be able to grab a hold of your examples and think through these steps. And really, again, it's that opportunity opposed to a challenge that we can implement into our programs.
Yeah. Thanks, Carrie. I've appreciated the opportunity to visit with you today.
Well, I would like to invite all of our listeners to go to our website, www.extension.umn.edu/youth. Nancy has written a blog post called Abrupt Change is a Big Opportunity to Improve Youth Programs. You'll find that on our Youth Development Insight blog. And if you have any additional thoughts or questions for Nancy, we invite you to go over to that blog and continue the conversation that's already happening there. There are a number of comments, and Nancy has interacted with a number of those on that site as well. I also invite you to look on the right side of that website. We have a new category that we've added that's called Working with Youth from a Distance. And that page provides you with more resources on how you can continue your work during this time. Thank you again for joining me, Nancy.
You're welcome.
This is Carrie Rabideau from the University of Minnesota Extension Center for Youth Development. Please tune in again soon.